ourselves, because we talk a lot about revival, but what is it really worth to you? So let me just tell you that I was really appreciative that when Pastor Matt and Pastor Lori got here, one of the suggestions that they made was to move the prayer night to Wednesday night following the teaching that we do, because what's resulted from that is that we've had sometimes, you know, 30, 35, 40 people in here just coming in to pray. And that's such a blessing when you get to come in and just pray together. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. You know, I want to tell you that in this house, there is glory. And in this house, there is power. And I'm thankful for that. And God is truly honoring the prayer and the prayers that we do in here. But, you know, one of the things that we just have to, we know as Christians, is there are different ways that we can pray. There are different ways that we pray. I mean, you can come to God with supplications, and you can come in and just ask God and just petition God for things in your lives or for the lives of other people. You can spend time in intimacy just worshiping God and give thanks. Did you know there was a lady who was a pastor that I met years ago when we were in Hawaii? Her name was Crystal Clayton. And she wrote a book called My Faith. And in that book, she taught on prayer. And she said this. She said that prayer is the highest form of worship. It's the highest form of worship because it's a lot easier to get up and sing songs for 15 minutes a lot of times than it is to pray for 15 minutes. So prayer is a very high form of worship. And you know, another type of prayer is time that we can just spend time with God, just hanging out with the Holy Spirit and spending time with Him. And just, it's almost like that friendship, that bond that you have, that you know, when Paul said, pray without ceasing, I believe that's the kind of prayer he was talking about. It's a life lived in fellowship with God and communicating with God and just talking to Him about things going on in your life and just letting Him get into the most intimate places in your heart. And I'll tell you that it doesn't matter what kind of prayer it is, He loves them all. Because at the core of prayer is relationship. But you know, Wednesday night is a little bit different from those types of prayer that I just talked about. Wednesdays are for warfare in this house. Wednesdays are about corporate prayer. It's when we come together as a church and we begin to reach into the Word of God and we begin to release the promises of His heart into the atmosphere. And hold on to that word for just a minute because I'm going to come back to atmosphere. And you know, what we're doing is that we're praying over our church, we're praying over our city, we're praying over our region, we're praying over our state, we're praying over our nation. We're praying over our families. We're praying over our friends. And, you know, we're praying, even our prodigals. There's nights in here that we begin to just pray over the prodigals in our families that have walked away from God. And, you know, one of the reasons that we do that is that we can look around our world today and you can look at the confusion and you can look at the chaos that's going on. You can look, as Ian talked about a little bit on Sunday morning, about the narratives. We have so many different narratives that people are getting into these days. And what the corporate intercession is designed to do is to bring it back to the narrative, to bring it back to the truth of God, to bring it back into His promises and what He's spoken in His Word. And so one of the ways that we do that is through prophetic declarations. Say that, prophetic declarations. You know, even though there's a lot of things that we can't see in the natural, we can speak into the atmosphere. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And so as we begin to come in here and pray, we're in here in these four walls and we begin to pray, but we are speaking into an atmosphere. Because we have to understand that the war that we have is not against flesh and blood. We're not praying against people. We're praying against the spiritual forces that are causing the people to be influenced in the direction that they're going. And that's the purpose of just releasing prophetic declarations into the atmosphere. So the types of prophetic declarations that we release, and I just want to just put this out there for some of you people online that may have never been here. What's God's will regarding healing? Is that we're healed. What's God's word regarding salvation? His heart is that none perish. So we begin to pray into that. We pray into that over people we know. We begin to pray over it into our city, that people sitting in the bars, people sitting in these different places, that God, you would just intervene on their behalf, Lord, that you would just release your angels to minister to them, because the Bible says that we can entertain angels unknowingly. Yeah, just pray that God would send other believers into the lives of those. And this is part of our prophetic declaration. You never know that even some of our prophetic declarations that we release into the atmosphere may cause somebody even from another church to walk up to somebody that you love and begin to share the gospel with them. And the gospel that they wouldn't necessarily receive from us because we're family, the words that would come out of that individual would penetrate their heart. And that's what we believe in. We believe that God is a God of power and that he can move. He can move in any direction he likes. And intercessory prayer gives us the ability to partner with heaven. To partner with heaven, and we could say, God, Lord, we just ask that you would release angels over this situation. God, I pray that you would send angels around my son. I pray that, God, even when, like, Aaron is out doing his police work, God, let your angels be around him. Psalm 91 says, those are prophetic declarative prayers. And that's what we do in this house on Wednesday night. So it's different from the type of prayer that you experience in your closet or in your car when you're driving to work or just in your daily conversations with God, because these prayers that we do in here on Wednesday night are definitely about engaging in warfare. You know, there's times that it's about once a week, and I've been a little delinquent on it the last couple of weeks, but we go and we walk the Jordan Bridge. And if you've never walked the Jordan Bridge and you're able to, I would encourage you to go walk the Jordan Bridge. And when you walk the Jordan Bridge, I want you to look out over the horizon. Because in that horizon, you can see every city in the five-city region. You can see Chesapeake. You can see the Dollar Tree Taj Mahal that they built out there on Volvo. You can see Town Center in Virginia Beach. You can see, obviously, Norfolk and Waterside. You can see Portsmouth. You can see the hospital. And then out in that big flatland in the west, that's Suffolk, right? And you can just begin to just release declarative prayers on high places over our city. And that's the type of prophetic intercession that I'm talking about. And we need to be able to get to it and just get after it. And we're praying that his kingdom come. And even as we pray when we're up on that Jordan, up on that Jordan Bridge, we're praying into the atmosphere. Because what we can't see is still there. You guys hear this? What we can't see, the things that you can't see, if you're a Christian and you haven't really sat down and understood the whole aspect of spiritual warfare, you need to get that in your system. Because what that will do is that will cause you to pray harder. Because you will understand that those spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, as the Bible talks about, God can give us the ability to speak to those forces through intercessory prayer. And you know, when we come in this house, one of the things I love about it is that we come in unity. We come in unity. So for those of you that have been here on Wednesday night and experienced it, those of you in the house that experienced it, and those of you that have, like, if you have not experienced it, the unity that we feel in the house during the prayer time is powerful. And where we're in unity is that we are unified around Jesus. And one of the things we have to understand, if you call Harvest home, and all of us sitting in this room tonight, and I believe probably most of us online, if we call Harvest home, one of the things that happens in this place on Wednesday night is vision is birthed. Because when we get up praying together and we are praying about things, we are praying it from a church declaration. And we unify around that. And as we begin to pray and we just ask God, Lord, bring heaven to earth in so many different ways. I believe that there are times where God gives individuals vision about where he wants to take them within the vision of this church. If we begin praying for outreaches to young men, I believe that God is going to release vision into the hearts of people who are called to do that. I believe that if we begin praying about outreaches to young women, or we begin praying about missions, or we begin praying about whatever, then what the Holy Spirit begins to do is he begins to take those words and begins to deposits them into the hearts of people that he's calling into those areas. And as a church, we come together in a unified vision supporting, and as Pastor Matt and Lori begin to lead us through that, those visions roll up into what becomes harvest. That's what Wednesday night is all about. You know, one of the things about Wednesday night, too, is that we have synergy. We have synergy. And that's where the whole is more powerful than the sum of its parts. We come together. You know, there are people that take the content, they take it a little bit out of context. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. That's a little bit out of context when people use it in prayer. But I will tell you that there is power in numbers in prayer. There's power in numbers in prayer, and power's in agreement. Where two or three of you agreeing on anything, it will be done for you. Right? So there's power in that. And when Jesus prayed to the Father in John 17, he said this. He said, "For those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us." Did you hear that? Jesus and the Father is one, and Jesus just now prayed that we may be one in them. It's the joining together. "That the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." So we come in unity. The second way that we come is we come in power. And this prayer right here is one that I pray over us all the time for Wednesday night. And I love this scripture in Acts chapter 4. And I just want you to, as I begin to read this, I want you to use your godly imaginations as we go through this. Because you can hear them praying this based on what the scripture says. And this is what he says. "Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And that when they had prayed, I'm waiting on this to happen on Wednesday night, "that the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." There was an impartation that occurred. There was an impartation that occurred during prayer. And I believe that when we come together and we pray, there's an impartation that hits the believer, a boldness to be able to release those prophetic declarations, not only in the house during prayer, but more importantly, when they walk out of the house, they are still releasing those words. God is good. The third way is that we come in faith. I've already said it, that where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm going to be in their midst. And that if they ask anything according to my name, it will be done for them. That's not all one scripture, by the way. The first part's Matthew, the second part's John, right? So don't run all those together, right? So here's the thing. And through this whole lesson, God gave me these two statements. And I'm like, okay, God, I know you want to say them. I got to figure out where you want to put them in here. So here's where they go. The first one is this. Our love for God can be expressed by our worship and our obedience. The question we ask ourselves at this point is, what does my worship life look like? What does my obedience look like? Because Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Our love for God is predicated or really shown to us by where our worship is at, what other idols do we have in our life, and where our obedience is at. The second statement is our love for others can be determined by our prayer life. If we genuinely care about the people around us, if we genuinely care about the state of our nation, the state of our world, the state of our city, the state of our state, if we genuinely care about that, how is that reflected in our prayer life? Or how can we say we care and not spend time with God and bringing the petitions to Him? Our love for others is best determined or best displayed by our prayer life. And it's my heart that for the people in this room and for the ones that are going to begin coming, that's a prophetic declaration, by the way. In my heart, I believe that the prophetic declarations that are going to come out of the saints that enter this room on Wednesday night and begin to pray, that those declarations are going to be birthed in those quiet times at home. That the birth pains that you are feeling for your family, the birth pains that you're feeling for our nation, the birth pains that you're feeling for our state, and everything that's going on in this world today, that they would be unleashed on Wednesday night in this house corporately so that we could come into agreement. Because I'm going to tell you, God speaks to each one of us individually. And He gives us words to say. And I've had people tell me at times, they said, Chuck, I don't have the gift of intercession. I don't find that in the Bible. I don't find the gift of intercession in the Bible. I've heard people of laying hands on people and saying, God's going to give you the gift of intercession. I don't find that in the Bible. You know where intercession comes from? Relationship. It comes from relationship. I can remember a time when Ian had just got back from northern India, and he was back in Hawaii, and he had caught some kind of parasite in his gut. I mean, it was bad. As a matter of fact, Grace and I got called by some friends of his that he had passed out on the YWAM base, and they had to take him to the hospital in an ambulance. Stuff like that will teach you how to intercede. And it's like, devil, get your hands off my kids. They don't belong to you. And see, this is the thing, is that intercession has to be birthed in relationship. You want passion in prayer? Enter into that relationship. Enter into that communion time with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to start branding you deep inside and turning you into somebody who just it's almost like fire shut up in your bones that you just have to be able to release that. And we have a place for you to release it on Wednesday night right here. You see, we pray for a revival. We all pray for a revival. I heard a pastor say this week when I was listening to one of her messages. She said, I believe that revival will meet us when we start walking toward it. Did you hear that? I believe revival will meet us when we start walking forward. And she also said, revival is found in Jesus. He is revival. And so that really made me start thinking. I started going back in years, and I started remembering all the prophetic words that were spoken over this church that I still hold on to. Because I believe God has a destiny and a purpose that's much greater than what we have fulfilled up to this point in Harvest Assembly. There's been a lot of great things that have happened, but we have not fulfilled the prophetic words that God called us to when this church was established back in the early 80s. And why not? I believe the reason we haven't seen the time come to fruition is that as a church, we haven't walked into revival. We haven't been willing to step in and as collectively, as a body, make the hard decisions, make the sacrifice, step up with the courage, begin to execute things the way that we know God has taken us to do, to put down things in our personal lives and begin to pick up things that are going to cause the kingdom to grow through what God does through the people in this church. Folks, we have to step in to what God is calling us to if we are going to see revival come to this church. And even in a broader sense, come to Chesapeake, it come into the Tidewater area, and come into Virginia. Because I don't want revival to be held within the walls of Harvest. I want it to blow out past the walls of Harvest into every church in this region. Amen? And we have to step into that. You know, in this place at intercession, there's times that we pray for repentance. Man, we need to do that. And we need to consecrate ourselves to them. As a matter of fact, tonight, when we begin to go into intercession, we're going to do just that. We pray for an outpouring of His Spirit. We pray in this house every Wednesday night for His glory to be thick in this place. What if we had a church that the prayers covered this place so much? And listen, there hasn't been a revival occur on this earth that months of prayer and years of prayer hasn't preceded. So if we are going to be a church that experiences and walks into revival, we have to pray. And we pray that the glory come down in this house. And part of that glory is that when people who aren't saved walk into these doors, that words need not be spoken, that the presence is so thick that people who don't know Christ come under conviction and get saved by the mere presence. And then our job as a church at that point is discipleship. Imagine a church that God saves the people and we disciple them. We pray for those souls. We pray for transformed lives. We pray that sin would have no place, not only in the lives of the people in the church, but that sin would have no place in our community. We pray for healing. We pray for demonic deliverance in people. We pray for breakthroughs in lives, whether it's financial, it doesn't matter what it is. We lay it out there. We know God can bring us through anything. We know that there is nothing that He can't accomplish. He is God over all. Like I said, we pray for the city, the region, the state, the nation, and the world. And one thing we're going to start praying harder for is workers to gather the harvest that's coming in here. I prayed it last week, but I'll say it on the video tonight. Our pastors should never have to get up and ask people to work in areas in our church that need help. Never. People should be volunteering. If we see shortfalls in areas, we should be stepping up. I see the youth over here with Trent and Michaela. They've got volunteers over there helping them with them 30 or 40 kids. But every ministry that we have in this church, our church people need to find their place. We pray for the wind, we pray for the fire, we pray for the oil, and we pray for the rain. Those are manifestations of the one that we want. We want the Holy Spirit to fall in this place. So we're desperate for Him. And I don't mean desperate in the sense of the Merriam-Webster dictionary, because it says, it's desperate in the Merriam-Webster's like you have lost hope. I haven't lost hope. I am desperate for the hope. The hope is here, but I am desperate for His presence. David said it this way in Psalm 63. He said, "My soul thirsts for You, and my flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for You in the sanctuary." And this is what he said. Old Testament guy, king of Israel. He's saying the same thing we are, that I may see Your power and Your glory. It's something that has been desired by His people since the foundation of time, to see His power and see His glory. And God, we are desperate to see You move. We pray into the atmosphere, like I said earlier, because when we walk in this house, we are declaring to the enemy, this is not your habitation. And we begin to release the kingdom of heaven in this house. We break off depression. We break off chaos. We break off confusion. And we speak to the enemy and we say, "You have no dominion here." Amen? We have to speak that into the atmosphere because they can hear it. You can't think it into the atmosphere. The enemy can't read your mind. And you can pray in tongues sometimes and you don't even know what you're praying. But if the Holy Spirit's giving you utterance, if the Spirit of God is moving through you in prayer, you know He's hitting it. So you just let yourself release that in this house. You speak into this atmosphere. And you begin to come into an agreement with the kingdom of heaven in this place. Amen? Hallelujah. We come with expectation that He can do more than we ask or think. We break the spirit of doubt in this house. We are expectant. We are an expectant people. So you know, since Abraham, God's people have been expectant, right? Abraham was expectant. A lot of the Old Testament saints, they were expectant. Imagine the disciples. Everywhere they went with Jesus, the expectation was high to see what he was going to do next. It was high. I mean, you just didn't know what Jesus was going to do next. And all the stuff isn't even written in the Bible. But you know what, folks? He's the same Jesus. He hasn't changed. He's here today. As a matter of fact, he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us that we may now not be onlookers, but be participants in seeing his kingdom come to earth. So we come in this place on Wednesday night with expectation. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We pray in confidence in his unmatched ability to break down and expose every tactic of the enemy. Open your eyes. One of the first prayers that we began to pray when we came into this church on Wednesday night and began to pray is that God would reveal what the enemy was doing in this earth. Some of you remember that. That he would open our eyes to begin to see so that we could better direct our prayers. So we come with expectancy. And we have to come to fight. You know, I can remember the first time I read Matthew 11 and I was listening to Jesus talk about from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. Look, the kingdom of God should mean something to us. It should mean something to us. And we should be willing, men, women, and children, to step into the battle, to step into the fray, and begin to fight for what God has told us is ours. We have to fight for that. So we come in and fight. And people, what is revival worth to you? It takes effort to come into revival. You can't ride on Bethel coattails. You can't ride on Brownsville coattails. You can't ride on Toronto coattails. This is Harvest Assembly in Chesapeake, Virginia. He has called us to revival that is unique to our DNA, that will impact our region in a way that it has not impacted anywhere else. There are prophetic words that have come up over this region that said that there is a revival that is going to start in the Hampton Roads area, and it's going to run like a river into the West Coast. And I say, God, let it start here. Let it start here. Look, we have to get it in our hearts that we are not going to be denied. We are not going to be denied. The question is, will we be ready? Pastor Matt and I were talking about some things yesterday, and one of the things that came up in the conversation was, we get all these new people coming in that we're expecting to come in. How are we going to get our arms around them? We need workers. We need people to step into the game. What's revival worth to you? How hungry for a move of God are we really? Are we satisfied with church as usual? Or do we want the Holy Spirit to break out in here in such a way that things happen that just blow us away? That can only be God. Not man-made. It can only be God. Or are we comfortable with our religion? Are we good with just observing the broken world outside our walls? Are we good with seeing the church even deny Scripture and call things that are sin okay? Are we okay with seeing our nation transform into ungodliness right before our eyes? Does what's going on around us and in this nation and around the world not move our hearts? Are we unmoved by what we see? In closing, Smith Wigglesworth said this: when the current church phase is on the decline, There will be something that has not been seen before. It will be a coming together of those with an emphasis on the Word and those with an emphasis on the Spirit. And when the Word and the Spirit come together, when the church unifies, there will be the biggest move of the Holy Spirit the nation and indeed the world has ever seen, and it will mark the beginning of the revival that will eclipse anything that has been witnessed. Start here, Jesus. Start here. Let the fire fall on Harvest Assembly of God. Change our hearts, Lord. Consecrate us to your will. Consecrate us to your purpose. Let the things that are temporal move aside so that the things that are eternal can rise up and take their place. So folks online, I'm getting ready to close, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to get hot in here tonight. The Holy Spirit's already moving in this place. I can feel Him. So if you're on your couch and you're sitting back and relaxed, get up and come in here. You don't even have to brush your teeth. Wear your mask. Get up and come in here and come into prayer with us, because the Holy Spirit is about to fall on this house. So Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for your presence in this place. And Lord, I thank you for what you're about to do. And God, we thank you that you have chosen us to be partakers into this revival that you have set our feet to walk into. God, let it be so in Jesus' name. Thank you, everyone. It's hot in here. Woo. Can you guys agree with that? That's been burning in my spirit. I love these Wednesday night prayer sessions.